Vexilla regis prodeunt, fulget crucis mysterium. The banners of the King go forth, the mystery of the cross shines upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear fathers, and very dear faithful, today is the day of the great sacrifice of our Lord. Yesterday, our Lord instituted the priesthood and the sacrifice of the New Testament. Today, he abrogates the Old Testament by paying the price of all our transgressions with his own blood. We began today's service at 3 p.m., the ninth hour, according to the Roman way of counting the hours of the days. It was at the ninth hour, almost 2,000 years ago, that after our Lord was crucified on Mount Calvary, he gave up his life. It is at the ninth hour that the centurion claims, "Today, this man is the Son of God. Truly, this man is the Son of God." It is at the ninth hour that the body of our Lord was taken down from the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus could organize for the funeral rites to be performed before he was buried in the sepulchre. As Holy Mother Church invites us to do, let us follow our Lord and learn how the liturgy brings us close to him in his last moments. The heart of today's liturgy is the adoration of the cross. It stands in the place of Holy Communion. It is the one day of the year that we do not receive Holy Communion in order to experience some of the desolation of the death of our Lord from that time on Mount Calvary. The color black should bring to our mind the colors of a funeral mass. In fact, this is the funeral mass of our Lord. Our Lord was betrayed last night by Judas and arrested by the temple guards. He was put in front of a tribunal of the high priests, scribes, and Pharisees, who sought to find a reason to put him to death. Teaching us a lesson of respect to authority, he broke his silence only when he was asked if he is the Son of God, and only under the order of the high priest, by quoting the prophet Daniel in reference to himself. "Thou hast said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God and coming in the clouds of heaven." They torture our Lord for a while before handing him over to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. The chief priests and scribes have found our Lord guilty of blasphemy and have condemned him to death, but they cannot apply the penalty because Jerusalem is under Roman law. Yesterday, we accompanied our Lord and prayed with him in the Garden of Gethsemane until midnight. Today, we accompany him to Calvary. In the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 10, the patriarch Jacob, prophesying about the end times, said that the Messiah would come when the house of Judah is no longer ruler over her own lands. This is precisely the situation under which Israel finds itself. Yet the leaders of the chosen people do not look closely at all the proofs furnished by our Lord of his divinity. After the jealousy of the high priests, scribes, and Pharisees, our Lord has to deal with the cowardice of Pontius Pilate, who condemns an innocent man to death. We began today's ceremonies with two readings, without announcing their titles, since on this day we have lost the head of our church. Since our Lord suffered for two peoples, the Jews and the Gentiles, we have two readings. The first is taken from the law, and the other from the prophets. The passion of our Lord himself was spoken of by the prophets and in the law. It was prefigured by the patriarchs, such as when Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac, having him carry the wood to the place of sacrifice, and such as when Abel sacrificed a lamb as the first fruits of his labor. The first reading from the prophet Hosea, chapter 6, recalls God's mercy towards the Gentiles, a people who were dead to God. In this reading, God speaks of the resurrection of his people after 2 days. Last night, when we left our Lord at the altar of repose, he was a prisoner, condemned to death by those of his own chosen people. Today, we begin with the prophecy of his resurrection in his mystical body, the Church. Vivificabit nos post duos dies, in die tertia suscitabit nos. He will revive us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up. Yesterday, he was rejected by many among his chosen people. Today, he looks forward already to the new Israel. The tract after the lesson spoke of the second coming of our Lord to judge those that crucified him. For her part, in the collect, the Church reminds our Lord of his justice towards those who rejected him and his mercy towards the good thief, and begs that the old man be removed from us and we rise in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second lesson, taken from the book of Exodus, is a reminder of the first Passover, when Moses, the Old Testament figure of the Messiah, brought his chosen people out of Egypt, which is our captivity in sin. It expresses the manner in which our Lord would go through his passion. Immolabitque eum universa multitudo filiorum Israel ad vesperam. The whole multitude of the children of Israel shall sacrifice the paschal lamb in the evening. The lamb offered then was without spot or blemish, like the lamb offered on Calvary on this day, holy, pure, and innocent. Using a Jewish calendar to date the events of Holy Week, St. John the Apostle realized that our Lord chose to give up his spirit at the very moment that the lambs were being slaughtered in the temple for the celebration of the Passover. Moreover, in the instructions of the Passover meal, the Jewish people were told that they were not to break any bones in the body of the paschal lamb. So it was seen at Calvary, when no bone of our Lord was broken. The beloved apostle at the foot of the cross understood this. He stayed with Our Lady at that foot of the cross. As a sign that this sacrifice was no longer to be offered, the veil of the temple split in two, showing that our Lord's sacrifice superseded it. A reading of the Passion follows, in which we followed closely all the events of our Lord's condemnation, suffering, and death on the cross. St. John was the eyewitness of the entire Passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Moreover, he was the last of the four evangelists to write his account of the passion and death of our Lord. For this reason, he is the last one to be read during Lent. He was able to tell us that the bones of our Lord were not broken at his passion, and that his side was opened with a lance, details that none of the other evangelists could provide. The Church was born here on Calvary, when blood and water flowed from the side of our Lord. Today is the day to commemorate Our Lady's seven sorrows. Today is the day on Calvary Our Lady gave birth to us, the members of the Church, in pain and suffering, like the woman mentioned in chapter 12 of the Apocalypse. The Passion is read from an undecorated ambo for several reasons. Our Lord, who is the Word of God, and is represented by the Gospel during the Mass, was stripped of all his clothing before he was nailed to the cross and crucified. This lack of decoration of the ambo for the passion also represents the veil of the temple being torn into two and exposing the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, at the moment of our Lord's death. In his last discourse to his apostles before his passion, our Lord prayed to his Father three different prayers for all of mankind, for himself, for his apostles, and for those who would come to have faith in him. For this reason, following the homily, we will have the nine collects in which the Church, the mystical body of Christ, prays for all people in all walks of life, all over the world, invoking upon them a merciful effusion of the precious blood of our Lord. Since each time the Church prays in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we genuflect as we do so. After the collects, we proceed to adore the cross, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles, but to us Christians, a trophy of our Lord's victory. On the part of the Church, it is an act of reparation to our Lord for all the humiliations that have been heaped upon him. The cross is unveiled three times. First, for the humiliations that he suffered in the palace of Caiaphas. The second, for those suffered in the court of Pilate. And the third, for those suffered on Mount Calvary. The unveiling and adoration of the cross stands in the place of Holy Communion on this day, a reminder on this day that he worked our salvation from the cross. During the adoration of the cross, the choir sings the reproaches in which Jesus himself recalls all the benefits that he bestowed upon his people in bringing them out of Egypt, guiding them in the desert, and bringing them to the promised land. And also the response we have made to him by our sins. It is as if he says, "You accuse me of not paying taxes? You should be thanking me for saving you from the burdensome taxes and servitude of Egypt. You accuse me of making myself king. You should be thanking me for guiding and feeding you during your journey through the desert. You accuse me of calling myself the Son of God. You should be thanking me for giving you the land of Israel, where milk and honey flow." Following the adoration of the cross is the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified, in which the Blessed Sacrament, reserved in the altar of repose, is brought to the main altar with the chanting of the Vexilla Regis Pro Deunt, the banners of the King go forth. It is the consummation of the sacrifice begun yesterday when our Lord was betrayed. After the cross is placed high on the main altar, the holy and spotless victim is immolated upon it, showing both that the sacrifice instituted by our Lord at the Last Supper is the same one offered by him on Mount Calvary. Only a single cloth representing the shroud of our Lord will be used to cover the altar. The body of our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament, consecrated at yesterday's Mass, will be placed on it before the sacrifice. The sacrifice of every Holy Mass is a new presentation of the one and same sacrifice of Calvary. Today, the chalice is not consecrated to contain the precious blood of the Savior. In fact, it's a poignant scene on the corporal that the body of our Lord is present with wine and water, representing the last drops of blood and water that flowed when his side was pierced with a lance. The first Good Friday was on the anniversary of the incarnation of our Lord, when God took upon himself human flesh, the day of the Annunciation. This too was no coincidence, since the mission of our Lord was indeed fulfilled on Good Friday. Dear faithful, in the liturgies of the Holy Triduum, Holy Mother Church has us follow our Lord closely in his last moments, when we go about our daily duties and unite our sentiments to those of our Lord during our prayers. We will understand his immeasurable love for us to the point of pouring out his precious blood for our sins. One drop would have been enough to save us, but God loved us to excess. Let us not line ourselves up with those who have rejected him. Yesterday, we followed him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and unlike the apostles, we stayed awake praying with him as he prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Today, let us remember that after he was flagellated and crowned with thorns, before Pontius Pilate, he said, for the one and only time recorded in Scripture, he said that he is king. When the Blessed Sacrament is brought back to the main altar for the last of the ceremonies, let us remember that the cross is the throne of Christ our King. When the host is raised high, let us remember that he said that if he is raised up, he will draw all men to himself. On Mount Calvary, the Lamb of God was immolated to destroy our sins and open the gates of heaven for us. We can join ourselves to this immolation in our daily life, fighting against our vices, striving every day to live virtuously. We can carry forth this banner in the silence of our hearts. Let us seek to unite ourselves to him in all the details of our daily life, interior and exterior. Let us say every day to our Lord Jesus, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." If we do so, we will find that we can joyfully carry our crosses in imitation of our Lord, removing the old man and putting on Christ himself in all that we do. Remember that he said, "Do this in memory of me." O crux ave spes unica, hail, O cross, our only hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.